Bibles, if you would, to Matthew, the 20th chapter. I just want to remind all you folks that right after this, we're going to the Senior Center here in Bark River. We're going to share a meal together. If you did not come prepared today, there is lots to go around, and we want you there. We want you to fellowship, want you to rejoice in Christ. There's an old country song. Says, I've got a long ways to go and a short time to get there. That's what I've got. I'm going to do my best. You're going to have to hang on and keep up, and we'll get you out of here right before the what? Before the Super Bowl. That's right. That's right. Let's read this, Matthew 28. Did I tell you 20? Yeah, I was there too. We need to be 28. Verse 19. I'm actually going to start in part of verse 18. We'll read it to the end. These are our Lord's words. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. After his ascension, after his resurrection. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. We're going to go from there to Acts, the 10th chapter. It's where we'll be most of the morning. I'll be moving around a bit, but we'll be in and out of this. Let's pray, though. Loving Father, thanks for this opportunity to see your revelation to us. I pray that you would meet each one where they're at. We're a bit short. We're pressed a bit on time, Father. You know that. You see that. But I pray that you'd meet each one where they're at, every one of them. I pray your grace and your blessing on each. Help me as I proclaim. Help the listener and myself both that we might respond as we should. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord willing, July 18th, our morning service, it's going to take place in Spalding this year. The weather won't matter unless we have a tornado. So we're going to beat the weather hopefully this year. Johnson's Bluegrass Band will be there for a concert. Looking forward to that. We'll hear testimonies of those who are going to be baptized. And also, there'll be a gospel message preached. That's a great day, by the way, to bring out your unchurched family, friends. It's an outreach. It's not in a church setting. They're more apt to come. Look at it that way. But if there were a discussion, about baptism that you were a part of, would you be able to give a biblical perspective on it? That's my question this morning. What if it was a good friend said to you that they were thinking of having their baby baptized? What truths from the Scripture would you share with them? What if a family member told you they're going to be baptized in order to be justified or forgiven of sin, to have those sins washed away? How would you respond? BRBC, we recognize and practice two ordinances. We're around the Lord's table, but we also practice believers' baptism. And it's pretty simple as far as where we're going today. Believers need to be baptized. If you know Christ, you should be baptized. And you need to allow the Word of God to be the sole authority of our practice and understanding of it. Now, I am aware that, you know, we come from various backgrounds. Some of you in this congregation were baptized as infants. But can we agree that the Scripture has to be the final authority in all these things? Not a pastor, not a priest, not a church, not a denomination. It is the Word of God that needs to be that which guides us, because I think it's really clear on this. Now, having been here a while, some of you have heard many. How many of you heard 10 baptism sermons? How many have ever heard one when you were here when I was preaching on one? And some of you, right now, you've just about checked out, right? I've heard this before. Well, I need to say this to you. The Apostle Peter gave a good word. Therefore, I'll always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established. I'll get out of the way. And have been established in the truth which is present with you. I consider it right, and I do, as long as I'm in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder. There's very little for many of you that I preach that you don't know about and you haven't heard. But today, there's something for each of us here today. So let's get to it. What does the Bible reveal? We were just in Matthew, the 28th chapter, verses 18-19. And you saw there that the Lord spoke of of winning people to Christ, of making disciples and teaching them, but also baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But it was a practice. You're in the book of Acts. I told you Acts 10, right? We'll get back there in a minute. I was going to read it, but because of time, I'm going to have you move back, though. Acts 2. I just want you to see this. There's a progression that's pretty clear here. Acts 2, verse 41. This is at Pentecost. And Peter's preached a powerful sermon. And people were cut to the quick. They're cut to the heart. And there were those that came to faith that day. Verse 41 says, "So then those who had received his word were baptized." That's the order. You see it there. It's never baptism, I'm right with God. It's faith in Christ. Through faith in Christ, I have a right standing with God, and then I'm baptized. But those 3,000 individuals that came to faith that day throughout Jerusalem, they were baptized, and they were added about 3,000 souls. Verse 41. Chapter 8. These aren't all the scriptures I could give you, but this is a good group. Chapter 8. By the way, on the back of your bulletin is a, if you like to take notes, is a sermon outline there. You can do that. Chapter 8, verses 36 to 38. This is Philip. An amazing thing happens. God brings these two individuals together, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, and there's Isaiah 53 there. He understands the gospel. Verses 36 to 38, as they went along the road, they came to some water. The eunuch said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." He's talking about believing Christ. And he answered, said, "I believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I've come to faith. He's my Savior. That's what I believe." And verse 38, he ordered the chariot to stop. They both went down to the water, Philip as well as the eunuch. He baptized him. By the way, many people have been baptized in the desert. You know that, right? We had soldiers over in Iraq and different places. You know, they'll have a baptism service. They'll gather up some water. And but this is the first time we know of here. Chapter 9, verse 17. Chapter 9, verse 17, 18. This is the Apostle Paul. So Annas departed, entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight, be filled with Holy Spirit." Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales. Remember, he'd been blinded by that interaction with the Lord there. And he regained his sight, and he got up and was baptized. And he took food and was strengthened. I don't know if that's a whole order. Hey, we're going to take food after this message, right? And hopefully be strengthened. But you see the order. Faith in Christ, believe, be baptized. There are more. Let's just go to chapter 10. And I want you to notice verse 48. Paul preaching to Gentiles. And he shared the gospel. They have come to faith. You find that in verses 44, 45. Well, at verse 44, while Peter was still speaking, he shared the word with them, their life of Christ, the message of the gospel, the Holy Spirit fell on those who were listening to the message. And it's obvious they've come to faith. Verse 48, he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. They asked him to stay on for a few days. So there it is. There's a command, and there's a practice. You've seen that. But again, get this right. They heard the gospel message. They hear it. They respond to that gospel message. They make a decision to trust Christ as their Savior. So there's the order. Holy Spirit comes on them. We see that in Acts 10, verse 48. And they were baptized. They were baptized into water. So what is it? What is baptism? Baptized means, it comes from the word baptizo. It means to dip, to submerge, to immerse into, in this case, water. It's seen in the Scripture as putting into, immersing. This is a mode of baptism that we practice because we believe it fits a historic context and that which was practiced in the early church. Romans, if you would turn there, Romans 6, verse 3 and 4. Because I want to, the description, and I want to talk to you about the reality of what it is, okay? So I know we're moving quickly. Stick with me. Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we've been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. What does it represent? It pictures Christ's death, his burial, and resurrection. The physical act of baptism that we practice pictures that. It pictures a spiritual reality of where we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Through faith in Christ, we rise to new life. And then notice as well, the last part of verse 4. So we too might walk in newness of life. When we are publicly baptized, I'll tell you, as believers, we're saying we're connected to this family of believers. We are a believer in Christ, and there is that walk that's a worthy walk that we need to be involved in. Maybe some of you were baptized and you've sort of just been stuck. Or you haven't even been walking with the Lord. Here's a word for you and I today. Hey, there's a calling on our life from God who saved us to live a worthy life. So what? It's the description there is baptism. It's to immerse. Now, Paul talked about this a little bit in Galatians 2:20. I think it's a good word for us here. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. He saw that as a reality. And he says, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, gave himself up for me. He identifies with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's saying, he's alive in me. So there is a reality there. Physical act of baptism pictures the spiritual reality found there in Acts 6, and I think Paul speaks of it there as well. But it's public identification as well. I'm not going to take you back to Acts 2. But that was a radical step for those Jewish individuals who came to faith in their Messiah that day to say, you know what? I've been to the synagogue. I've been part of the law. I've had that tradition my whole life. But I want the world to know that today I am moving a different direction. My faith is in Jesus Christ and Him alone, and I want everyone to know that. It's public identification as well, that you're a believer. You're a follower. Does it, and here's a key question. I know I'm moving fast. Does it justify? Does the act of baptizing, placing someone, immersing someone in water, justify them? Does it forgive sins? Now, there are many that would think that way, and that's the key question here. Many churches, individuals believe that one cannot be saved apart from being baptized. There would be a number of those who would believe that being baptized saves a person. The act of submerging someone underwater forgives sin, allows that individual to walk away forgiven. There are those that hold that. Some believe that it isn't that way, that the Holy Spirit comes upon someone. But the teaching that you cannot be saved unless you're baptized is referred to as baptismal regeneration. There are a number of churches that preach that, teach that. But the core of its teaching is the question is what Christ did on the cross sufficient or not? By adding baptism to that, they're saying that really what Christ did doesn't quite get it. There's something else we need to add to that. So God's word is clear to the point. Baptism does not save anyone. It does not regenerate. It does not reconcile us to God. It does not forgive sins. Only faith in Jesus Christ does that. So let's talk about some of these various views for just a moment. I've given you one that baptism saves. And I would, my thought toward that would be, okay, some things that we need to think about there. I would ask, what about the thief on the cross? What about him? Jesus said, today you'll be with me. What about if one of you came to faith today in Christ, right here in this place, and you walked out across the road or something happened on the way home or you experienced a heart attack, you're gone? Well, those are all questions that need to be asked. But here, I'm just going to give you some scriptures. I could preach on this aspect of the gospel for a long time. I'll just give you a few, okay? Paul, Silas, they have been imprisoned, Acts 16. Midnight, what are they doing, folks? Woe is me. No. They're praising the Lord, singing hymns to his name. That influences the jailer. And there's a lot there, earthquake, so forth. But here we go. He asked the question. The jailer asked the question. Remember what it is? What must I do to be saved? Jailer, you need to be baptized. That's what you need. You need to come to church. You need to agree with. No. Believe. Put your faith in. Trust Him. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You and your household. If you believe, you'll be saved. If your wife, your children believe, they'll be saved. Gets right to it, doesn't it? I mean, that's pretty clear. Pretty clear. What was Paul's thinking on this? We maintain that a man is justified by faith. Faith apart from the works of the law. We always want to add, don't we? That's just the nature of man. When it comes to the government, we want their handouts. But when it comes to spiritual things, we want to earn it. God, I'm okay. I'm not as bad as... Look at that guy over there. Man, what a mess he is. Not me. But it says all have sinned. It's by faith alone. Justified, declared right by God. Not a pastor, not a priest, not a church, not a denomination. No, by God. God justifies or declares right the man, the woman, the child who puts their faith in Jesus Christ alone, apart from anything. I love this verse as well, Romans 4:5. But to the one who does not work, but what? Believes in Him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. That is, that God looks at the believing sinner, and because of their faith in Christ, He puts on them the righteousness of His Son. That's the only way that we're right before God. It's the only way a sinner can be made right to spend eternity in heaven. I don't know if I got any more. I can't remember. Yeah. There's many more. Therefore, having been looking back, Paul's writing to believers, he says, having been justified by what? By faith. By faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how it happens. The believing sinner gets... They get it. Wow, there's a gospel. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. God has provided a Savior. Then we have to do the hardest thing ever, right? Some people will say, that's so easy. That's too easy. That's cheap grace. And I want to say, if it's easy, why are not many people going that way? It's not easy. It's one of the hardest things you'll ever do, is to stand before a holy God and say, I got nothing. Nothing. I have nothing to offer to you. I'm a sinful man. And I'm reaching out by faith and taking the gift of eternal life. If you've never trusted Christ, friend, today is the day. Brothers and sisters, I want to say to you, you've heard a message like this a lot of times, some of you have. We need to make disciples. I'm looking at the church and thinking, I think we've stepped back a little bit lately. We've forgotten. This is our message to the world. God has put you with a worker, you as an employer, you with someone in your school to influence them toward Jesus Christ. We need to see more people saved. That'll be sweet next year or this year, 20, 30 people baptized. You hear those testimonies. God will set us on fire for His glory, for the gospel. Anyway, I'm getting carried away a bit here, but this is ours. This is ours. Okay, some believe that baptism forgives sins. I had a friend of mine I'd worked with for years, called me probably 10 years ago, said, Brad, I want you to baptize me. I said to him, I won't give you his name. I said, well, why do you want me to do that? You're a godly man. I believe you're a godly man. But why do you want me to? But what are you thinking about this? I want to be baptized so I can come up free and clean, forgiven. It's not what the Scripture teaches. That's not what the Scripture teaches. Here it is. In Him, in Christ, we have what? Redemption. We've been bought with a price through His blood, the cross, you see it there. The forgiveness of what? Our trespasses. How does that happen? It's through Christ. It's through Him. It's not through baptism, not through membership. It's not through anything we can do, not through partaking of the Lord's table. It's through faith in Christ. Okay. And there's another view here that infants ought to be baptized, and I am really getting short on time now. I'll just say, let me put it in this pull it together right here. Scripture never teaches it. Okay? You'll say, yeah, but we hook this with that and that with that. We just don't believe it. There's four reasons we don't believe this. One is because infants cannot comprehend the gospel. They can't do that. We're still trying to teach them how to talk, right? Yeah, they can't get the gospel. They cannot make a decision to trust Christ. Three, they cannot respond out of obedience to be baptized. They can't understand what I'm preaching today. They can't grip the gospel. They can't hear the teaching. And lastly, nowhere in the scriptures is it commanded, taught, or practiced. We don't see it there. We don't see it there. Anyway, that argument that babies or infants should be baptized is an argument from silence. It flies in the face of justification by faith alone in Christ alone. Now, some of you are here, and you may be asking, well, I was baptized as a baby. Turn to Acts 19. I was baptized as a baby. So, but I've come to faith now. What should I do? And I want to give you something I think that's helpful. Again, I'm flying along. I can't take a lot of time with all this, but Acts 19, it happened that while Apollos, verse 1, was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country, came to Ephesus, found some disciples, okay? Paul's traveling through, he's at Ephesus, he finds his disciples. There's something about them that begins to ask questions. He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? By the way, it is through belief that we receive the Holy Spirit. He comes into us, he dwells us. It's through faith in Christ that that happens. As a believer, we have him. They said to Paul, they said to him, no, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, so he keeps trying. He says, well, into what were you baptized? You've been baptized. What was that all about? And they said, into John's baptism. If you remember, John was a forerunner of Christ. He was the one that said, get ready, the Messiah is coming. If you're identifying with this message, be baptized. It was a baptism of repentance. They're looking to get their lives straight. They're looking to identify with John's message that the Savior is coming. So he said, they said into John's baptism, verse 4, Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling people to believe in him, that's in Christ, who's coming after him. Verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I believe it is in between those two verses. There's some things we don't have all of, but he's introduced Christ to them. He's introduced the Savior. That's the completion of that message. And they then were baptized in the name of the Lord. If you were baptized as an infant or some other way before Christ, before you knew him, you need to be baptized. That's pretty simple. All right, some other thoughts that I have there just about this whole idea of justification. There's just so much. What about our Lord and John? In the Gospel of John, by the way, today we are talking about Sunday school and so forth, and I want you to know, adults, Pastor Wes, teaching through the Gospel of John, it's a fantastic teaching ministry that he's got going. You be there. Others, you got kids, get them here. We need you here. All right, now I went away. I keep saying I'm going to be done. I'm not done. What about with Jesus, with Mary and Martha? What about John 14, where Jesus said, Jesus with Mary and Martha, I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, remember, yet shall he live. John 14, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We could go through a lot there, but it comes back to justification. Paul's emphasis, by the way, was on preaching the gospel. It wasn't on baptism. He said in Romans 1:14-15, I'm under obligation both to Greeks, to barbarians, to the wise, and to the foolish. So for my part, I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. He didn't say, I'm eager to come in and baptize people. He said, I'm eager to preach the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 1:14-17, Paul says this, and there was division there in that group. He said, I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one would say, you're baptized in my name. And listen to this. Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And that is his ministry. He stood there. Paul's statement again to the Roman, or to the jailer there in Acts 16, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. You'll be saved. Okay. Why be baptized? Well, one, I think it's out of obedience. God calls us to it. I will tell you, my own experience, I never heard a solid, strong message on baptism. I was saved at a young age, and I was saved in fifth grade. But it wasn't until I was in my 20s that I was baptized. I understood justification. I didn't need to be baptized to be saved. I understood that. But I didn't really understand God's call on believers to take a public stand. So it's out of obedience. It's also out of identification. It's saying, I am a follower. I'm a believer. I want the world to know it. I want this body to know it. Whoever would be there with us. I want to publicly make that known. And it's finally out of submission. To be a follower of Christ is to be in submission to Him. And boy, I'll tell you, that can be a tough thing for us because our hearts are prideful. We're stubborn. But you guys aren't stubborn, right? But boy, I am sometimes, you know. But it's saying, He's my master. He's my Lord. I'm submitting to Him. We're allowing His grace to be that is sufficient to shape us, to mold us into the men and women that He calls us to be. Well, if you're here today, without Jesus Christ, we'd invite you to trust Him now. We would do that. I'm going to stay up front. I'm going to pray here in a moment. I'm going to stay up front. If you're not sure about the Christian life, if you're wondering what does it mean to be saved, what's it mean? How can I be forgiven? How can I know I'm a Christian going to heaven? I'm going to ask you to come. If you got questions or you want to let me know that you want to be baptized this year, come up, see me. What I'll do is get everybody up. You'll be dismissed, but others that want to come, you do that. You might be saying, Pastor, how many do we have that are going to be baptized this year? And you know what? I always tell Pastor West this. He'll ask me, how many do you know of? I said, well, right now, about the normal amount. I don't know of anybody. But we walk by faith, right? We walk by faith, not by sight. I'm trusting that the Lord's going to move. I know of some that need to be baptized, but we'll see. I'll finish it with this. Here it is. Believers need to be baptized. There it is. And allow the Word of God to be the sole authority of practice and practice and understanding of it. Let's pray. Loving Father, I had to fly through this, but thank you for your Word. Thank you for your love to us. That amazes us. Thank you that you care about everything in our life. Thank you that we matter to you. It may seem that we don't matter much to others, but boy, do we matter to you. Thank you that you knew us. You knew every word we were going to speak, what our life would look like before we were even conceived. That's amazing. Father, there's some here today that need to be baptized. You need to help them in their understanding. Give them courage. Father, if you can save us, you sure can help us to take a stand. Others here, Father, need to come to faith in Christ. They need to put aside their pride. You set it aside. They need to make a decision to trust Him. Would you help them to do that now? In Jesus' name, amen. I'll dismiss you.